Blog Talk Radio.
Because we have a very tragic and sad announcement, but those of us who understand the struggle know that we must continue because the struggle continues. At this point, we're going to go immediately to a recording that was provided for us by Sister Noelle Hanrahan, and it is with sad news that we announce Sister Lynn has transitioned.
She was convicted by the feds of terrorism for doing her job, the legal defense of a Muslim client, and at the time, Muslims were not very famous in America, as you know.
So somebody asked me, what do you do now that you're disbarred? I said, I agitate. Those who profess to favor freedom yet deprecate agitation are men who want crops without plowing up the ground. They want rain without thunder and lightning. They want the ocean without the awful roar of its many waters. Frederick Douglass, this struggle may be a moral one, or it may be a physical one. Or it may be a both moral and physical, but it must be a struggle. Power concedes nothing without a demand. It never did, and it never will. Thank you.
Brother Ralph.
Yes, I'm sitting with Sister Lynn as we speak. And we're having this program because the words of Sister Lynn are, there is no time to worry about our comrades who have passed, our comrades who have fallen down. And she uses the words of Ernesto Che Guevara to say that when one comrade goes down, when one comrade is not able to do their work, the comrade who was a true comrade doubles their work and takes their place. And if we fall down, we expect our comrades to take our place. And Lynn Stewart said to me, don't take one moment to grieve, but to follow Joe Hill's admonition. Organize, organize, organize. This is a program for political prisoners, and we will begin and continue the program as always. My credo, what I believe, the overriding element in every situation or circumstance in a black life is racism. Birth, elementary school, housing, health, food, etc. Black lives have never mattered except during slavery and other circumstances where money is being made by our labors for others. The modern death penalty, 80% black, move lynching indoors. The police, as the army of occupation, have taken lynching outside again. The lynch mob is the racist system, including the courts and the media. And because the lives of our heroes and sheroes, who once protected us in our community, do not matter to us, the people, our political prisoners are now dying in captivity. They are tortured and isolated. Only armed struggle can recreate our image in our own minds as well as the minds of others. Wake up. Now is the time. Now, there is much to be discussed this evening, and it was written out by Sister Betty Davis, and she has it, and I'm going to turn it back to Sister Betty to tell us some of the topics of discussion this evening. But there are so many people have called me regarding the news of the passing of our sister Lynn, and they are calling in to express themselves. And so, Sister Betty, if you just give us the program this evening, and feel free at the board to tune in our brothers and sisters who want to say goodbye to Lynn in their own fashion. You have it, Betty.
Thank you, Brother Ralph. And in the words of Queen Mother Moore and Sister Lynn, don't come to my funeral to grieve. If you can't come to support the struggle, continue the struggle, then stay home. And without further ado, I want to turn to a poet who says it so well, and Sister Lynn delighted in reading his poetry before we get to the rest of our brothers and sisters who are on the line. And I want to remind everybody to mute your mics if you have background noise, to keep the background noise to a minimum. Everybody's mic is open. So, Brother Nat Turner, your mic is open.
Oh, unfortunately, I don't even know how to mute it. How do you?
No, you're okay. I'm not talking about right now. Okay.
Okay. Okay, so I just have two brief pieces to share. They're very brief. And before that, Brother Walter Riley from out in the Bay Area sends his love to everyone and his blessings. So anyway, here we go. Maybe they're more like Carl and Ann, Ossie and Ruby, Pete and Toshi, Max and Abby, Paul and Eslanda, Carl and Jenny, then Vladimir and Krupskaya, Arnie and Bill. Maybe they're more like Malcolm and Betty, Gertrude and Alice, Medgar and Merle, Martin and Coretta, Ashford and Simpson, Burns and Allen, then Jane and Mel, Amiri and Amina. Whatever, dude, Ralph and Lynn, one another's biggest bouquets, brightest beacons burning in Brooklyn's People's Republic, showering love and light on us, a second-hand smoke blinding us with hope of mentors, master teachers of agape, eros, philia, storge. One would go down postal, rain, sleet, and snow, and tell old Pharaoh, Brown Big Brother and the Holder Company, let my people's lawyer go. And then the other pieces. When our knights are captured or fall on battlefields, as they surely must, we lose their brilliant light. And we are scrambling to pry pens, swords, spears, bread, and roses from stainless steel grips of their icy hands, scrambling to hoist fallen banners, temporarily mired in mud and blood, even higher, scrambling to staunch rivulets of brine from our shattered hearts. When our giants of all sizes go down, our spines straighten, honoring, immortalizing legends, burnished names by divvying up ancient cosmic work that created them in the beginning.
Thank you, Brother Nat Turner. Thank you so much. Brother Ralph, did you want to comment before we go to the next panelist?
No, Brother Nat did it right, and he did it for all of us, and the words of the struggle continues. And
thank you.
We have...
Are you in the house?
Go ahead.
Brother Larry.
Yes. My sister, Sister Betty Davis, Sister Professor Betty Davis, my stalwart brother and friend and comrade, Ralph. I convey as best that I can at this moment my love and my strength to all of you. Brother Ralph, we know you are a stalwart fighter who stood side by side for 50 years with our dear sister, Lynn Stewart. All power to the people. Sister Betty, we know, too, that you have stood strong and you have continued the good fight exactly as Sister Lynn would expect us to do. I'm not going to take up a lot of time. I'm only going to say that, you know, Bobby Sands said that our revenge will be the laughter of our children,
right,
quote unquote, right? But I'm going to add something to that so we can smile. I will say, Brother Bobby Sands, our revenge was the life of Lynn Stewart. All power
yes.
to the people.
He's right on.
Thank you so
right
much.
Right on. Thank you.
We have wordsmiths are still among us. We have lost Lynn. We have others. And we must continue the struggle. Sister Betty, take it.
All right. I think I see a sister calling in from Philadelphia. 215-2471.
Yes, on the move.
On the move.
Hey,
Africa.
Family.
Move.
Yeah. Lynn was the example. No, not was. She is the example of resistance. Lynn is the example of courage. Lynn is someone that a lot of people should follow. She was the example of what to do on every level that it was. Suzanne Ross read me the article that was done in the New York Times. And reading that article and made you just love Lynn that much more. And because she never bowed down, she never sucked up, she never compromised. She did what she had to do with her head hung up. And you know what? You can't speak of Lynn without speaking of Ralph and Betty.
That's right.
and the three of them. And it was, whenever we come to New York, we made sure that we came and sat at the table with the three of them. And made sure that any time that when we were out, we wanted to be in the presence of the three of them. And because of the example that they set. And when it came down to Mumia, when Lynn was on that stand and she was fighting for her life, she made sure that she brought up the names of Mumia. And I do remember when our brother Chakwe Lumumba, and went to that next level. We did a radio program together. He was the mayor at that particular point. And on that radio show, the mayor and talked about his love and the fight that Lynn Stewart had put up and that he was with her. And, you know, I'm not going to take up a whole lot of time, you know, Lynn's life is an example to follow for those who want to be strong. You know, that's all I have to say. My husband, Razakhan, felt as though that since I was calling in, he didn't have, you know, he didn't want, you know, want us taking up a lot of time. But I say it, and I say it long, you know, loud, long live the spirit of this sister who walked this earth to be an example and for all of us to follow. On the
Thank
move.
You, sister.
And
Thank
I will be
so
talking
much.
To y'all soon. Love
Thank
y'all.
You.
On the move.
Love you. Brother Ralph, did you want to chime in here before we go to the
On
next
On the
person?
Move, Pam. You said it mm-hmm. just right. And as Lynn said, we must say it again, over, and more important, we must do it. And as you said, she is the example, and she has left the footprint for the rest of us to follow. Back to you, Sister Betty.
Sister Ann. Ann Lamb of Jericho.
Yes.
I want to remind everybody, only 2 minutes, because we've got an incredible list, and we want to get everybody in. And I thank everybody for respecting the time limit so far. Go ahead, Sister Ann.
All right, well, I was quite devastated to hear this news. I agree with everything that Pam just said. I will be letting our political prisoners know of this very sad event. I am sure they will be devastated. I'm going to see Jaleel on Saturday, so I'll let him know. If I hear from Seth, I'll also let him know. You know, Lynn was such a wonderful example of what a human being should be, that it would be certainly hard to in any way even try to imitate her. But we will try to be like Lynn. We are all Lynn. If we can say we are all Lynn Stewart and work the way that she worked and live our lives the way she lived her life, we will go out of this world having accomplished a great deal, I believe. And I also agree with Pam that you can't think of Lynn without thinking of Ralph and without thinking of Sister Betty. They go together. Three wonderful, wonderful people. And Ralph, and Sister Betty, I am so sorry for your loss. And as somebody said to me today, well, if it weren't for Ralph, I said, yeah, if it weren't for Ralph, she would have died in prison several years ago. So we had her for a few more years, and we're grateful for that. And we're grateful to you, Ralph, for all the work that you did to get her home. And that is an example that everybody should strive to imitate. Strive to be like Ralph Poynter. Strive to be like Sister Betty. Strive to be like Lynn Stewart. Try to be better people and give an example to everybody of what kind of people this world needs. You know, love Lynn, love Ralph, love Sister Betty. My heart is heavy at this moment to have just recently gotten this news. And, you know, the struggle will continue and we will continue. And we will also, you can't just say don't mourn, organize. We have to do both. There's a time for grieving, and that's a very important part of saying goodbye to somebody is the grieving. So don't think that you shouldn't do it, Ralph. It's important. You know, it's part of the process of healing when we lose somebody. And, you know, let's say we have all Lynn Stewart. Be like Lynn. Dare to struggle, dare to win.
Thank you, Sister Ann. Brother Ralph? Okay, we will go to Brother Kazi. Brother Kazi,
yes.
Your mic is open.
Hey, Kazi.
Yeah, sister. I just tuned in. And I'm really sad to hear everything I hear about Lynn's past, and I really thought she would, you know, she's a fighter. I thought she was going to pull back yesterday, you know. But, man, you know, she's really, you know, I agree with everything everybody said so far, you know, Pam and Ann and the brother that was on before. I won't reiterate it. But I just like to add on to, you know, she set an example, you know, for white working class people, you know, in the struggle, you know, to stand up and stand firm with us, with black people and people of color. She did that throughout her life, you know. A big clenched fist salute to Lynn, you know, from the heart, man. You know, love her and love y'all to the trio. All right. We'll keep on struggling, keep on moving, man. All right.
Thank you. I believe Brother Shoneman is in the house. We're going to try and see if we can open up his mic so he can speak to us. Brother Shoneman, Ralph Shoneman.
Yes, Betty. Yes, Ralph. I want to just say to you that I've had a message from Carol Seligman, who's been besieged with support messages and remembrances of Lynn, and sending them on as... And I just will read to you one of them that came through from Jim Lafferty. What a remarkable woman. What great contributions she made. What a life she led. Millions lost a champion, and we are a dear friend today. That's what everyone feels. Because Lynn, our wonderful Lynn, argued by example. It wasn't just the words. It was the example of her life, the example of her deeds, her passion to be involved every minute of every day, arguing by what she did, no matter how she felt, what was afflicting her, she was always there. She was there for us. She made it loud and clear. Every time she drew a breath, it was for others.
Yep. That's right.
Right. Thank you so much.
Right.
Thank you. And we will have to go on. We need you to recognize that we appreciate the messages from California, because Lynn never stopped fighting for political prisoners there. Can everyone hear me?
Yes, we can, Betty. Continue.
Okay.
Yes, everyone
so
can
much.
Hear you.
I want to go to our sister who's been waiting patiently in the wings. I'm not used to negotiating this many calls at one time, and we're getting busy signals everywhere. Sister Nellie Bailey, are you in the house? Your mic is open.
Yes, I am. I agree with everything that has been said, and I would like to add that Lynn's loss is a loss for progressive, and not even progressive, that overused word, but for socialist movements across the globe. Her significance and her life expands far beyond the shores of New York and of the U.S. That's how important she is, not only as an example, because that's so easy to say, but by deeds. I mean, when working people think of the people's lawyer and her defense of Larry Davis, a case that no other lawyer would take on, and how dare she, a whole New York City's police department is a military operation, but she took up that gauntlet and she won. I mean, this is the sentiments and the feeling and the love of working class people, working class black people. And I would like to finish with, you know, Lynn was one of those rare people of European descent who, without question, who without even any hesitation, was devoted and had a political awareness and understanding about our struggle for humanity. That's what Lynn encompasses, that humanness that defines the greatness in all of us. I mean, she is more than just someone who will be remembered. She is someone whom we should advocate for her to be in the textbooks. That's where she belongs. And for the New York Times, the voice of the U.S. oligarchy, to come to her because they knew shit. They came to her because they were in the presence of greatness, the greatness of humanity that defines the human race. I can't begin to say enough about Lynn. And every time we called her to show up in Harlem, to be on the radio program, without hesitation, she said yes. And on behalf of Black Agenda Report, my radio program, and so many others, we have lost not only a champion, but a voice in her political analysis and her keenness in terms of that political analysis serves us well. And she was not fooled for an iota of a second about this duopoly, nor the war criminal Obama. She will not only be missed, but we should strive for her political acumen and astuteness that help us to further develop our political consciousness. And thank you so much. It was an honor for me to be here, to be on the phone tonight, just to say these words about Lynn. Thank you so much, and my love to the family, to Ralph, and to Betty. I meant you two more so than anyone else. You helped to sustain us and guide us in that movement to get Lynn home. And I don't think the progressive, the left, the socialist community can ever give enough thanks to the both of you. And thank you very much for allowing me to come on to say these few words. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you for that, Nellie. And back to Betty.
Thank you, Nellie. Thank you so much. And it's been a real pleasure to be able to sound the warrior call for Lynn, because this is not goodbye. Ralph and I don't believe in a hereafter, but we do feel that if there is one, we want to go to hell, and we want to get everybody there that we couldn't get here, and we know Sister Lynn will join us. So that
yes,
nobody
that's
escapes.
True. This country is already in hell. All right, thank you very much.
All right, thank you. Brother Daoud from Haitian Radio is on the line. Your mic is open.
Yes, I thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak.
Just speak up a little into your mic. We can't hear you.
Yes, this is Daoud. I'm calling, as you say, from the Haitian community here in New York. And I have to say that it was for us an honor to have fought alongside Lynn and to have met you, Sister Betty and Ralph, and to have you guys, the three of you, guide us in this struggle that we are waging here as an immigrant community, as Black people in this country over here. And in our culture, we believe that, you know, we all have to go, but what's important is that while we are here, we do trace a path, leave a path for those coming behind us to follow. And we believe that definitely Lynn Stewart did that. And for that, we thank her for a life of struggle, for understanding her responsibility to stand with those most oppressed in this society. And as Nellie just said, Lynn's work, Lynn's struggle, the struggle that you guys wage every Tuesday here on this radio program, Ralph Pointer, what's happening. It goes beyond the borders that you could ever imagine. So we say strength, courage, and love to Ralph, to Sister Betty, the rest of the immediate family, and everyone all over the world who are in struggle right now. This is a loss for all of us, but we believe that, you know, she's not going anywhere. She has not gone anywhere because she is within all of us. Thank you.
We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. And I want to now go to one of our stalwart warriors who helped to make this real, Brother Joel Myers. Are you in the house?
I got to go. Yes. It's really devastated too much to bring the thoughts together. I really feel for everything that's been said. It was amazing commentary so far. I think that that Lynn is you look out at a galaxy, and she was a supernova. That she, her spirit and her activities and her struggles have really shed light on the entire world, the entire
thing is right here.
Thank you. Thank you for that, Joel. I believe your mic is there. Your emotions have been...
Not his mic. I just muted. I saw where it was coming from. I apologize for those. Brother Joel had prepared me for the fact that he might not be able to give his full voice to us this evening. And I prevailed upon him to join us anyway. And I thank him for being the warrior that he was.
Well, I must interrupt to thank you. I did not come in endowed for the Haitian community was speaking very close to Lynn's heart. Where she says you don't have to go to the Bible for parables of the willingness to give when one does not have an awful lot to give. And in the middle of the most horrendous situation in Haiti, Lynn's defense committee was in horrendous condition. And the Haitian community stood up for Lynn, and Lynn never forgot that. In their deepest struggling moment, they reached out and supported Lynn. And let me reiterate, it touched her. It touched us all. And wherever she is, wherever her spirit is, wherever her energy is, she sends it and will use it to support the Haitian community. Sorry to interrupt with my emotion, but back to you, Sister Betty.
Thank you. Please, by all means, interject. Please interject. I think Brother Tom is hanging in there with us. Brother Tom, your mic is open. Brother Tom, can you hear us? Okay, we're going to go to 510, the first three digits, last four digits, 0436. Your mic is open. Five ten zero four three six. Your mic is open. Okay, at this point, we're going to go back to Brother Ralph.
Yes, Brother I'm Ralph. Here. I'm here, and I'm listening. And it, one of the things that people do not know, and that is the last four digits of their phone number, because many times I forget the last four digits of mine. And at this moment in history, we are dealing with a most outrageous government. And I would at this moment read from a speech that Lynn gave 10 years ago in Minneapolis that is relevant, as relevant today as it was then. And it dealt with this American government, this government that we had hoped for, that the people seemed to have hoped for when they wrote those famous words of the Declaration of Independence and all of those other prized documents of words that defied reality. It did defy reality because we have lived in a situation where the words were kicked under the bus. The words were ignored. And remember the words of freedom and democracy, and at the same time, they had slavery. Freedom and democracy, and at the same time, there was genocide. Freedom and democracy, and at the same time, there was imperialism and oppression of all of those around us for money. And I can only again return to Lynn Stewart, who said she has been the beneficiary. All white people have been the beneficiary of skin privilege, the beneficiary of genocide of the indigenous people, the beneficiary of the imperialism around the world. And while she was in Sloan Kettering, he says, I am the beneficiary of the best standard or accepted medicine in the world. And it's all due to the imperialism, to the slavery and the genocide of the American government. And she says, I accept this treatment, but I will continue to work so that the people around the world can create their own institutions based on their own riches, their own land, their own resources, and never mind false handouts by the American government. This is the type of person Lynn Stewart was. She understood and acted on the reality of America. Give back.
Thank you, Brother Ralph. I think we now have Brother Tom. Brother Tom.
I'd like to extend my deepest condolences to my dear friend, Ralph Pointer, my dear friend and comrade, and my dear friend and comrade, Betty Davis. You know that we all know that our bodies pass away, but we also know that the spirit of freedom can never pass away. It is something that lives on forever. And Lynn Stewart exemplified a spirit of freedom that will be remembered from generation to generation. I've often thought, being a white man, whether the white race in general could ever get over 500 years of racism and imperialism. But every so often, I have the honor of meeting a white person like Lynn Stewart. And I realize that regardless of what one's race is, if we delve into our inner selves, and if we discover that spirit of freedom that is in the human race, that all people can get over their prejudices. And that's one of the wonderful legacies that Lynn Stewart left. As Martin Luther King said about being the drum major for justice, that's what Lynn Stewart was. And I want to thank Ralph and Betty for giving me the honor of being a regular participant in this wonderful blog every Tuesday night. Thank you. And as I said, Lynn's spirit, she will live on in my, within me and within everyone who ever had any experience, any knowledge of this wonderful woman. Thank you very much.
We thank you, Brother Tom.
And as I would like to repeat something that Lynn Stewart had said in 1965. She had come to Harlem in 1962 as a teacher, a librarian. She was born in Swedish Hospital in Brooklyn, New York. She grew up in Queens. She went to college in Hope College in Michigan, and she was the valedictorian of every class she was ever in. And 2 months after she was in Harlem, I was the teacher across the hall. She said to me, "What is this place?" And when I told her, and she says, "How is it that I was born in Brooklyn, lived in Queens, not 5 miles from Harlem, valedictorian of every class I was ever in, and I didn't know this place existed? Somebody has been lying to me." And then 2 years later, after being involved in the struggle for the liberation, the freedom, the justice for people in Harlem, she said these words, "This next struggle will be with the two groups, the group of white people who understand the nature of this society and fight to give up white skin privilege, and those people in the community of color who understand the privilege that they do not have or the rights that they are not afforded and fight together to overturn this system." This is Lynn Stewart, 1964, and she never stopped growing, and she never gave up on those words. Lynn, as I can say, I have been privileged to stand beside you for over 50 years, making these words true. And for too few in America do they make the words that they repeat a reality or work in that direction. Betty, I feel I've taken up too much time. The mic is back to you.
Thank you, Brother Ralph. I want people to know that the struggle Brother Ralph led with his comrades in the world, all over the world, including most of the people on this broadcast, is what brought her home to us. And they said 6 months, but we said we'll see about that. And we had her 3 years and almost 6 months. So we won't take our grief totally out in our hearts. We will take our grief into the struggle. And at this point, I want to recognize an anarchist Black Cross warrior, Brother Richie. Brother Richie, your mic is open.
Hello, everybody. I'm very sad about Lynn.
Did you get a number two?
I remember at her court trial, and I was there, and Ralph was like, "We can't let the government have her. She's ours."
and Ralph meant it, and Lynn meant it, and they all meant it. And I want, in the honor of Lynn, because I know she loved poetry, just read Two Little Things by Phil Oakes. Because I know Phil Oakes is one of the few people that went to Chicago to fight the racist bastards in Chicago. And I think this really reminds us of Lynn. All my days will be dances of delight when I'm gone, and the sands will be shifting from my sight when I'm gone. Can't add my name into the fight while I'm gone, so I guess I'll have to do it while I'm here. And I can't be laughing at the lies when I'm gone, and I can't question how or when or why when I'm gone. Can't live proud enough to die when I'm gone, so I guess I'll have to do it while I'm here. And Phil Oakes is one of the few people that was willing to go to Chicago to fight the tyranny of the white Nazis. And Lynn was one of the few people, as you said, Ralph, that would call a pimp, call a sellout, and not put up with stupidity. And I miss her greatly. And I hope you will let us know when the memorial is. I think you said Saturday, so we can all show up. I'd like to donate. I have two anarchist flags to my hero Lynn, and my loving moment was when your granddaughter, at the celebration we got Lynn back home, sung that revolutionary song, and I hope she will sing it again in honor of Lynn, and I hope to meet all of them there, and all her friends and her comrades, and free them all, as Lynn would say. I love you dearly, and she's the closest thing I'll ever meet to Emma Goldman. She is my Emma Goldman, and we need more Lynns and more Emma Goldmans. We'll get all these prisoners out now. We love you all, Lynn.
Thank you for that, Richie. It is very important that we understand that we are but another step. We are but another position. We are but another part of the chain in the long struggle to make America be what it said it was going to be. And in speaking to Lynn Stewart many years ago when she received her sentence of 28 months and then received the sentence of a continuous of 120 months, she said, so many have suffered so much to make America what it says it is. I cannot shun or not be afraid of the price to be paid to make it better. And so she continued in that mode, unafraid and willing to take the risk to make America become what it said it was. And so I say to Lynn, safe travel to wherever the scientists say energy never disappears, energy only changes. Whatever and wherever this energy goes, I know it will be a better place because of the energy that Lynn Stewart is. Thank you for that. Betty, back to you.
All right, again, we have 212, and the last four digits are 2924. Your mic is open.
Greetings. This is Suzanne Ross calling in, and we already just sent a message that you'll get. We sent it out saying, long live Lynn Stewart, a revolutionary example forever, a fighter for justice to her last breath. And, of course, we extend our condolences. This is on behalf of International Concerned Family and Friends and the Free Mumia Coalition. But, you know what, as I was listening to Brother Richie and listening to Ralph, I was thinking of the roller coaster, the revolutionary roller coaster we've really gone through with Lynn's struggle these last few years, all the way from the Ralph being there and you, Betty, so many days in front of the White House in that hot, hot summer. And how can anyone who was there ever forget the power, the emotional energy of that day when Ralph and Lynn walked out in at LaGuardia Airport. I cannot forget that ever.
Yes.
The screaming of the people, the crying, the laughing, the hugging, the kissing. That was a revolutionary gift on New Year's Day in the morning. And hundreds of people showed up in such a short notice.
Yeah.
And it was an honor and an experience I will never, never forget. And, yeah, I was just... when I got the news about an hour ago, whatever it was, I told my granddaughter, who, of course, met Lynn many times, and she immediately burst into tears. And she started remembering events she had gone to in honor of Lynn. There were so many activities. Our movement went through these cataclysmic changes from joy to horror that she was going to prison when she was so sick and that they sentenced her to 10 years plus or whatever it was. I'll never forget Ralph's face when that news came out and people were saying, it can't be and it can't be. And I remember Lynn saying afterwards that she thought she was going to die in that prison, that she thought she'd never get out either. And yet she didn't die in that prison. She died with her family. She died. And just a few weeks ago, there she was giving a fiery speech. Not to mention her statement to the New York Times, wow, that she had the I don't know what to call it. There's a word in Hebrew, a special honor, to be able, in her last days, to be able to say, excuse me, F you, to all those people who tried to lock her up and silence her forever. She had the last word. So with great love, great appreciation to both of you, Ralph, your shining armor of battle for Lynn was really something for the generations to talk about. I just didn't know how you could do it physically. And Betty, what a friend you've been. What a comrade and sister. I love you both. I love Lynn. We've all been richer for not only Lynn's life, but since the actual trial, these last years where we witnessed her battle and her strength. And we journeyed with her through many of those steps, So thank you to both of you. Thank you for the show. Thank you for your great work. Thank you for the inspiration that you've given us all. And as I wrote in a card to Lynn, you know, thank you for all the contributions you've made to the children of the world.
Well, thank you for that, Suzanne. And as Lynn said, her own words were, the people were always her strength.
Yeah.
And she, when she was in jail, and I spoke to her while in Fort Worth, Texas, when I said, we're going to be out of here. You are going to be out of here. What do you want? And in a lighthearted spirit, she referred to one of the things that we old people, and when I say we old people, we children of the 60s, would always think of the land of liberation, the land of free thought, was San Francisco. And she says, when I get out, I want to dance in the liberated heart of this country, in San Francisco, to a progressive band. I want to dance in the streets. And she was granted that wish when she was speaking in the Haight-Ashbury section of San Francisco. When he got there, there was a brass band of progressive people playing, and with Pam Africa, Ramona, myself, Lynn, and the people of Haight-Ashbury, we danced in the street. And I said to Lynn, well, you were in the depths of the prison system. You wanted to dance in the streets of Haight-Ashbury, the symbol of liberation, free thinking through the 60s in America. And here we are,
dancing in the streets of the Haight-Ashbury. And we want to keep that sentiment. We want to keep that drive. We want to keep those dreams of being able to dance in the streets of this country to the tune of freedom, to the tune of liberation, to the tune of love. Sister Betty, are you giving me a signal to get off?
I'm trying to open up mics, and some people are not muting their noise. But I believe before we go to the words of Sister Lynn and close out the program, we have 215. I think it's 3757.
215-3757. Hello. Yes. Hello. Hey, this is
Noel. How are you?
You know, it's just a really hard day. It's a really hard night. You know, Lynn meant a lot to me in that she was a symbol and the flesh and blood of resistance. You knew what side Lynn Stewart stood on, and she was this really burning, amazing, dynamic light that shines a way forward for all of us in terms of like how to be principled, how to take action, how to be clear and be truthful, and also make sure that you were out front and doing the work that needed to be done. And the work she did at the very end was really powerful, focusing on political prisoners and making sure that they had access to lawyers. I saw her, just by the sheer force of her will, make sure that a couple people had legal representation, and it made all the difference to what they were doing inside. These are our political prisoners, and Lynn never forgot them.
Thank you for that, Noel. And I'm standing here beside Lynn Stewart, beside the body of Lynn Stewart, with Nasser Ahmed, who would like to make a statement about Lynn Stewart. Nasser?
Excuse me. It's a very difficult moment that we're going through right now. And I would like to say goodbye to our mother and a sister and a friend, and above all that, a great lawyer and advisor. But I can tell you, as an immigrant, I came to this country, I don't have a mother. Lynn was my mother. I didn't have a sister. Lynn was my sister. And I don't know what a lawyer means. Lynn was my lawyer and my defender. I really, as an immigrant, lived the American dream to express my opinion while there's someone I can rely on to defend me. Lynn was always there. Today, we lost Lynn. Yet, her principles that she taught all of us, she was like a guide of school, I think, gonna make us continue have a struggle. Lynn, I will miss you forever. Yeah, I will miss you forever, Lynn. You're still alive among us with your principles, with your kindness, with your charming smile and style. I love you, and I love everyone who loves Lynn. Thank you, guys, and sorry for my emotion.
Brother Ralph, we'd like
Thank
to try and close out with the words of Lynn provided by Sister Noel, if we can.
This is Lynn Stewart on behalf of political prisoner Jan Lahman. Prisoners' voices blocked and censorship in U.S. prisons is a piece he has written for us, and I am bringing it to you. These present words, written John Lahman, quote, "The United States is often called the country of prisons because we are 5% of the world's population, but the U.S. holds 25% of all the prisoners in the world. Recently, we have heard talk from the White House and Congress about the need to reduce this huge prison population, which is costing the taxpayers billions. Occasionally, you might hear a prisoner's voice on some media platform, usually a human rights or community outlet. I am a long-held political prisoner, presently locked up in the U.S. penitentiary in Tucson, Arizona. Let me be very clear. Prisoners have a hard time getting our words and thoughts out from behind America's many, many prison walls. While prisoners do have a legal right to express their thoughts and report on issues and abuses, actually getting your words out is often very hard or impossible. All incoming and outgoing prisoner communication, postal mail, phone calls, and some restricted email services that some prison systems allow are all opened and monitored. This is authorized by regulations and law. Further censorship and outright blocking of communications and publications also routinely occurs in prisons throughout this country. Letters, magazines, and books critical of government policies and wars are often not delivered, even if official policy states that prisoners are allowed these materials. Sometimes a prisoner has all his or her phone or email communications arbitrarily shut off for months. While an official appeal channel is usually available, these are biased at best and could easily be labeled a kangaroo court process. Communications would be shut down for months, even if the prisoner ultimately wins appeal and has his or her communications restored. Censoring, restricting, and flat-out blocking communications, especially of political prisoners, is a harsh and dangerous reality.
I want to thank you, and that will end our program for this evening. We have run out of time. Brother Ralph?
Yes, thank you for that. And much love, and your voice will be with us forever. Good night, all.
Good night. Yeah.
To be free, I wish.